You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. I'm excited to welcome into the studio today two very special guests. Ethan Gans-Morris is a co-founder of Anima Mundi Productions here in Ashland. On December 7th, he'll produce and perform in a unique concert at the Southern Oregon University Music Recital Hall. It's part of an ongoing Heart of Humanity series. The concert is titled Music of the Middle East. Welcome, Ethan.
Thank you so much.
My other guest is the concert's star performer, Dr. Shireen Abukader. Her background is extraordinary. We've included links on our website at jeffexchange.org. Dr. Abukader is a Palestinian, Jordanian, Canadian composer, conductor, and music educator whose work bridges Arabic musical heritage with contemporary choral and interdisciplinary expression. Based in Toronto, she's the founder of Dozen World, a platform dedicated to publishing, teaching, and sharing music from the Levant with global audiences. She's also co-founder of the Usul Ensemble, whose voices will be featured in the concert on December 7th. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange, Dr. Abukader.
Thank you for having me.
So, Ethan, you shared with us some samples of beautiful music that will be featured at the concert. And, of course, we'll share those samples with our audience in just a few minutes. But let's start with the backstory on why you decided to showcase music from the Middle East.
Absolutely. So we run a concert series called the Heart of Humanity Concert Series right here in Ashland in the SU Music Recital Hall, usually. And we are in our seventh season now. So the company, our nonprofit, is called Anima Mundi Productions, which means the soul of the world. And it was founded by me and my wife, Tiziana Della Rovere, who's also my creative partner in these endeavors. And the mission of the Heart of Humanity concert series is to present top-tier, world-class musicians through a lens of bringing humanity and showcasing the humanity of their, you know, we've been saying humanity all these years. We're also expanding to environmental issues this year. So if I can say the humanity of non-human animals too, I guess animals get to have humanity too. So those are some of the themes that orient our concert series. And how we came to this particular concert is that in our 24-25 concert season, we focused on musicians from conflict zones. It pains me to have to say it out loud, but people who are experiencing violence and war and conflict in a certain way do lose their humanity, especially when they become statistics in news stories. And we believe that the performing arts and music in particular and live performance in particular are ways that we can restore the humanity of people who sometimes become a news headline or a statistic. And so in that spirit, we brought Grammy-winning Ukrainian pianist Nadia Shpatchenko. And then in February, on a very snowy day, some people might remember, we brought Israeli cellist Amit Peled. And the plan was always to bring Dr. Abukader to conclude that season. And there have been a number of challenges we've overcome, and she's here with us now. And so she is, you know, yet another representation of the mission of this concert series.
Well, it's amazing that people living in the most distressed places, under sustained, elongated, and sometimes generational trauma, still don't lose their creativity and innovation. Dr. Abukader, you have a unique background and talent. Can you share your story? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Jordan. I was born in Jordan, and I grew up in Jordan, and I studied in Jordan until my high school. But I do have very strong Palestinian roots because both my parents are Palestinian, so Palestine was very much part of my upbringing as well. I went and I studied music, and then when I came back in the late 90s, oh my gosh, it sounds a very long time ago, I moved to Jerusalem and I lived there. And since then, I've been very actively involved in the music of that region, specifically the Edward Said Conservatory, which is based in Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and Ramallah. And they have a branch now in Gaza and Nablus as well, involved in the Jordanian choral scene while I was there. And 12 years ago, I decided to, with my family, we decided to move to Toronto. And I have been living in Canada since then. composing mostly choral music, Arabic choral music influenced by that. Education is very much part of it. And I'm here today to share some, you know, music, and very excited about Sunday's upcoming concert.
What drew your family to Toronto?
We wanted to experience, I wanted my daughters to experience life outside of the Middle East. I think that was a big part of it. And the plan, I was just telling Ethan earlier, the plan was just to be there for a short time. But after we moved, I applied for to continue my PhD, and I got in and I ended up studying there. And so one thing led to the other. And so we ended up being there longer than we anticipated.
So what is life like every day in Jerusalem, in the Middle East, in Jordan?
Well, Jordan is there's no conflict in Jordan, so it's safer, it's kinder, it's a little bit, there's not a lot of issues that you feel when you go to the West Bank, because the West Bank is a whole different other story, right? But growing up in Jordan is a safe environment, and it was just like growing up anywhere else in that sense.
And when you lived in Jerusalem, how was that different?
This could be a very long conversation, but because the West Bank is divided, right? You have the Israeli side, you have the Palestinian side. So if you want to transport from one side to the other, you have to go through checkpoints. And to go through checkpoints, it's a little bit of a challenge, right? So that was a bit hard. But teaching there was actually one of the most incredible things I've ever done, simply because I think there's that look in people's faces when they want to learn. When there's a cause, there's a thrive for learning a little bit more than anywhere else. You know, this eagerness to know, eagerness to succeed, eagerness to, yeah. So teaching there was by far, I think, one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
And you co-founded the Usul Ensemble?
Yes. We co-founded it just a few years ago. There's a beautiful community of singers from the Middle East in Toronto, and there's an advantage of being in a place like Toronto because of the diversity of meeting all these incredible artists from Syria, from Palestine, from Iran, from Turkey. So we're able to come together and create a group using our compositions from Dusan World and our arrangements, and try to bring it forth to the international community.
That's interesting. I never imagined Toronto as cosmopolitan and diverse as you describe it.
Oh my goodness, it is the most, it's very cosmopolitan actually. Yeah. It's beautiful.
If you're just joining us, I'm joined in the studio by Ethan Gans Morse, co-founder of Anima Mundi Productions here in Ashland, and Dr. Shireen Aboukader, a Palestinian-Jordanian composer, conductor, and music educator who is the featured performer in the concert Music from the Middle East at the SOU Music Hall on December 7th. Dr. Aboukader, I'd like to play a music clip and get your response on the other side, if you will.
لو رحل صوتي مهد الرحل حناجركم
Tell me about that mesmerizing piece.
Funnily enough, this was probably one of the first pieces I've ever arranged. And I arranged it, I'd like to share the story of how this came about, because it was when I first moved to Palestine. And growing up as a Palestinian who's living outside of Palestine, listening to your father and your mother's stories of their homes and their valleys and their beaches, And going there for the first time to teach was an extremely emotional experience for me. I was working at the conservatory, and a gentleman working at the admin office said to me, "Do you want to go check out a concert?" And I said, "Sure." We go to this concert, and it was in this public school setting. It was just very bare, just a bunch of chairs and a stage. And soon enough, I find Abu Ya'ub, who is the gentleman who took me there, picking up his tabla and going up on stage. I didn't even realize he could sing. And it was an extremely emotional moment. He sang that piece that we just heard, but the original of this piece is much faster. It goes a little bit like that. But the people and the energy in that room was so moving. And it's a very long song, but the first four verses hit to me in a way that I didn't think was possible. I didn't expect to be emotionally that taken by the words, which translate basically to say, if my voice departs, your voices will not. If the singer dies, the songs will remain to bring people in suffering together. So that spoke to me, I think, as a Palestinian, as a woman, as, you know, an Arab, and all of that just come together and, you know, feeling that would be a space where I can bring in that. And I heard it, the melody was so beautiful, but I heard that four lines and I just was like, I don't want to do anything. I went home that day and I actually wrote it. We didn't have computers at the time, so I had to write on a piece of paper. But funnily enough, I moved to Toronto, and in Portland, Ethan Sperry as well, who is the choral director of Oregon, Portland Singers, I believe,
PSU, right? PSU Chamber Choir, and this is a different Ethan who is also a composer and a wonderful musician.
We went to school together, and he called me and he said, "Shireen, do you remember that piece that you did? And I want to do it and with my choir." So he did it, and now it's become one of these pieces where a lot of choral singers end up doing it because it speaks universally. Yes, written from a local perspective, but it's a very universal message, which is what music does in a way, right?
Well, I certainly was moved by it.
Thank you.
And we have a couple more samples that we'll play on the other side of the break. But Ethan, your initial plans for this concert included the entire Usul ensemble, I understand. Is that right?
That's right.
But that didn't go well. What happened?
Well, things change, and we've had to overcome some challenges. And I want to say at the outset that our community, our audience, have been very understanding and coming along with us in this journey, especially in this last 6 weeks we've had to really pivot. The story is a little bit bureaucratic. It's not quite so dramatic. But essentially, things have changed with travel restrictions. And Dr. Aboukader brought some concerns to us about people of particular national origins being detained or having problems at the border. And so we sought out a very highly regarded visa attorney in Portland to consult with us on a number of questions. And after a series of conversations, if I can speak for Shireen, correct me if anything I'm saying isn't right, but she made the determination that if there was anything that would befall any member of her ensemble, that was not something that she was comfortable with, that was something that she would take on herself but not ask of anybody else. And so we had to pivot quite quickly. This was actually in October. Yeah. And it was actually my partner Tiziana who first suggested this idea. What if they record the program that they had intended to bring here as a 7-person ensemble, and we play that recording in some fashion, and have Shireen come here to do the education and community work that she had already been engaged here in Ashland. But in ultimate eventuality, this film has become much more artistically ambitious. I hope she has an opportunity to speak a little more about that, because it's not simply a recording. People have said, wait, is it just a recorded concert? No, it's a live concert, and then there will be an actual film, a visual film made by an award-winning filmmaker in that production.
Okay, we'll talk about that on the other side, but we need to take a short break. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guests are Ethan Gans Morse, co-founder of Anima Mundi Productions here in Ashland, and Dr. Shireen Abukader, a Palestinian-Jordanian composer, conductor, and music educator who will be the featured performer in the concert Music from the Middle East at the SOU Music Recital Hall on December 7th. And before the break, Ethan, you were telling us about some of the challenges of getting the Asul Ensemble here, and that didn't go well, so plan A had to pivot to plan B. And how did that plan B occur, Dr. Abukader?
Well, I mean, the wonderful thing about Anima Mundi is that they're very transparent, and there was a lot of trust in the conversations that happened. And when we got to a point where we felt some members might not have access, it was not a question for us. Like, we come as a team, we leave as a team. So that was not negotiable. But when we got to plan B, which was the movie that we're planning to showcase on Sunday, it was very challenging. It was exciting, but it was also very challenging to have less than a month really to put this thing together, record it, video record it, and also not wanting it to be just a concert where you're just watching people, just perform on stage, but rather an experience where they get a sense of where this music comes from. So there's other footage that shows the region hopefully a variety of let's say, feelings. So you'll hear some sacred music, you'll hear some secular, you'll hear things about fun and weddings. At the same time, you'll hear things about, you know, the land and resilience, and you'll hear about Bedouin music. So there's a variety, and we were hoping that within that journey of the movie that we can take the audience, at least visually, to be able to experience that to some degree, because otherwise it would not make sense, you know, for us to sing in Arabic, people not really understanding where that music comes from or what the feeling of that piece is.
So it's a story arc told in a multimedia interactive way.
Yes, more or less, yes. I mean, there's narration, and that the pieces will take you to those parts of the world, hopefully to the regions, and showcase a little bit of that. Mind you, the time frame, and again, I wish we had a lot more time to do this. So it's the time frame is very tight, right? So, but I think it's going to be something very beautiful that we are showing. So we're really hoping you can make it.
Well, certainly audiences who come to see a concert aren't expecting a movie experience as well.
Yeah, but I guess we weren't expecting not to come as Usul, right? So that idea that you can, that when something happens, you can shift and change so quickly and be able to come up with an idea that can still give the audience rather than give up on it, right? Because the other alternative would have been, let's just cancel this. But I think, what Anima Mundi did was just incredibly courageous, to be honest, because it's very hard. It's very easy to say, you know what, this is too difficult. But they didn't. They stepped up and they, you know, brought me and hopefully this movie that we will share. And hopefully it will be a different experience, but it'll be a beautiful one too.
Well, let's hear a little bit more from the concert. Dr. Abukader, what's the name of that piece?
It's called Lamma Bada Yatathanna. This is one of the most famous pieces actually out there. It comes from the Andalusian form, song form. And it is belongs to a genre of songs called the Muwashshahat that actually came from Iraq all the way to Spain of the Andalusian period. And what's beautiful about this genre of pieces is that most of the time it's done in the classical Arabic, which means anybody from Morocco all the way to the Gulf can understand it. So this song genre actually unites the Arab region in a way that other song genres doesn't. Muwashshah, the word muwashshah has many meanings, but I love to use the word wishah. Comes from the root of wishah, which means the veil. And because the way the language is written, which is super sophisticated, you don't know who's talking to who. So in this case, Lama Badaita Thanna is a love song. But we don't know if it's a man singing to a woman singing to the divine, a child singing to landscape. It gives that freedom when you're singing to explore that. And I find that very fascinating. And also the last thing about that genre is they're always accompanied by a specific pattern of rhythms, right? You know, like we have the waltz or the cha-cha here. These patterns are specific to that. And so there's a very specific rhythm that accompanies. And if you were hearing it, it's in the dums and the tuck that we were hearing with the percussion playing it.
It's very different from the first sample we heard. What was the name of the first sample?
Laurahal Soti. If my voice departs.
Oh, my. You're taking us on a journey through these songs.
Well, gladly.
I want to really strongly emphasize that there is a live component to this concert on Sunday and that Shireen Abu Khadr will be performing.
Yes.
I'm not saying it right, but Lamabada.
Lamabada will be part of our program, our live performance on Sunday.
My studio guests are Ethan Gans Morse and Dr. Shireen Abu Khadr. Both will perform at the SOU Music Recital Hall on December 7th in a concert titled Music from the Middle East. So Ethan, you're performing as well, right?
I will be the pianist on Sunday.
Okay.
Things are happening. And we've also invited a local percussionist named Aharon Wheels-Bolsta, who is an expert in this style. And so we have quite a rich community here in Southern Oregon that we're able to find a very trained expert in classical Arabic percussion who will be joining us as well. So I want to repeat myself here. It's not just a film. Half of the program on Sunday, this Sunday, will be live.
Okay. And there's some audience interaction?
Yes, there will. Actually, we're giving it away, but yes, I believe there will be a little bit of audience interaction as well.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll leave it right there. Now, you brought Dr. Abu Khadr here for more than just the concert. She's going to be doing some other things. Tell me about that.
That's right. So tomorrow, she will be with us at the Ashland Methodist Church for an event that also features food and culture. And this has been made possible by a grant from the Ashland Food Co-op and a collaboration with the organization called Ashland Together and Chef Jackie Rosen. And it has been literally the most popular free community event we've ever offered. We try to do these as frequently as possible, where we present our guest musicians in a much more, I would say, educational, but also informal context, kind of a community conversation context. And whenever possible, we involve food. This one has been tremendously popular. So that's tomorrow, but I hate to say it, our reservations are already kind of over capacity. She will also be working with the wonderful children of the BASE Youth Program. They used to be called the Afro Scouts. Tomorrow as well. It's going to be a big day tomorrow.
A lot of work for you tomorrow, Dr. Abu Khadr. Let's take a listen to one more sample from the concert.
Ha
that's quite a soul-stirring rendition. Tell me about that.
Hal Asmar Al-Lun, we translate it to you beautiful one, but Hal Asmar Al-Lun actually means also literally you dark-skinned person. And Hal Asmar Al-Lun, this specific melody is actually has been alive for over 500 years. It's one of the oldest existing melodies. And it speaks, the story goes that in Iraq, there were two tribes, the Amorites, who were known to have very beautiful light skin, blue eyes, and the Ashuris that had darker skin. And it's a love song between a couple that met. So she tells him, "You're so beautiful, dark skinned." So she's, it's really the woman singing to the guy, telling him how beautiful he is.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, and it's quite relevant at this time of history, isn't it?
It really is. It sounds like an interracial love song.
There you go.
I have to tell my wife about that. She's German-born descendant.
Oh, okay.
So I have African roots, so that song might be applicable to our relationship.
There you go.
Ethan, you produced this concert with this mix of live performance and film. What do you want audiences to take away from it?
Oh, what a wonderful question. So, you know, two things. Of course, we always want to present the best musical performance, the best quality art. That's our standard. But in this case, we feel that, to be really blunt, we, as Americans, we don't hear from a lot of Palestinians directly in either in a kind of this capacity of an interview, nor in an artistic capacity, Palestinian musicians or artists or filmmakers. And we're really honored to be a vehicle to bring that story, but I mean artistic story, that human musical artistic experience to our community.
So, Dr. Aboukader, your work here in the United States requires you to cross borders frequently, mm-hmm. Especially during these turbulent times. What are your concerns? What are the risks you face?
Oh, well, I mean, I think that's a tough one. There are risks by just simply being Palestinian, unfortunately, at this time of history. Songs have been taken out of programs because of that. In Toronto, funnily enough. So there are challenges, but, you know, you're always looking, we recognize them. We know that we will be faced with them. None of the music that we do has a political intention at all. And we're always looking for brave people to work with because, you know, it's a scary place and people lose jobs because they support one or the other. And so I think, you know, we tread carefully and we're mindful and we listen and we watch. it's not easy, but I think the work is much more important now than it was before, you know, because of that.
I find it so interesting the way you phrase that you have to be brave to bring people together, to bridge differences, to create a common ground of understanding.
Yeah. I mean, it's very easy for people to shy away because they're scared, you know, and people sometimes just don't want to deal with it. So they don't. And that's, they're right. But I find it's interesting. I mean, I find myself having conversations. This piece, the first piece that we heard, Laura Hal Soti, has been not like some choirs have chosen not to do it simply because I'm a Palestinian composer. And I've had conversations with conductors saying, you know, there's nothing in the music that says anything, like there's nothing in there that, you know, why don't you take a step and be brave and have a difficult conversation with the choir? Some will and some won't. And so it's just something we have to learn to work with and manage and kind of, you know, negotiate.
Well, you found a brave and courageous companion here in Ethan.
100%.
So, Ethan, thank you for the work that you do to bring these types of voices to Ashland Any last words?
Thank you so much. I want to thank our team. So Tiziana in being our creative partner and our wonderful Animundi Productions team. I want to thank Shireen, and I want to invite people to come this Sunday, 3 p.m. SOU Music Recital Hall. We have information at humanitytickets.com. That's humanitytickets with an S. And we would very much like to thank our community for supporting this project.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you both.
Thank you.